This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin and listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. In the first property show of 2018, Keith Kham speaks to Dato' Wan Hashimi Al-Bakri, director of Sime Darby Brunsfield, who's also the chief operating officer of Sime Darby Property. Sime Darby Brunsfield was awarded Development of the Year in the iProperty Development Excellence Award 2017. Keith finds out the secrets of being an award-winning developer and prospects for the property sector this year.
Dato, Sime Darby Brunsfield clinched the title of Development of the Year for the Senada Residences at Alia, located at Bukit Kiara in KL. And this is part of the iProperty Development Excellence Award, that's IDEA Award 2017.
Yep.
So, what does it mean to you guys?
Well, Keith, of course, naturally, we feel very, very proud and honored with the award, and also very happy that we won the award. I think this is something as testimony of our achievements of the team in Sime Darby Brunsfield Holdings, right?
Now, Sime Darby Brunsfield, you guys have been in the business for a long time. What sort of success stories can you share with us that brought you to this award today?
I think the partnership has been around for the last 10 years. I think the most significant achievements or success of our partnership has been the Oasis Ara Damansara Integrated Development, which is basically has won awards before in terms of the integrated development, best integrated development. In fact, it is one of the largest in Klang Valley. It's about 85 acres.
Right.
That is one of the culmination of the partnership in terms of achievements, which is our Oasis Ara Damansara City.
So what are some of the secrets that allow you guys to win so many awards?
I think is what is really the key secret is the collaboration. And then the collaboration that we have between both parties. And the ingredients of this collaboration are basically teamwork, trust and transparency, and we do it well together. I think that's one of the key ingredients of the success of this partnership.
Now, this IDEA Awards, some of its criteria include things like its location. And I noticed that Senada Residences at Alia, that's in Bukit Kiara, right smack in a lot of greenery. Could you take us through some of the processes, how Sime Darby Brunsfield, what it went through in order to capitalize on this greenery to come up with projects like these?
Well, as usual, we always start with our market-focused study. We look at the whole market sort of, demand in the area, geographically as well as from a demographic perspective. And geographically, as you rightly put, we have got the golf course there.
Yeah.
There's the 18-hole golf course, world-class golf course. And at the back of it is, of course, the Bukit Kiara.
The forest reserve.
And if you look at the Senada design carefully, it's actually following a concept of the chef mushrooms, which is basically part of the flora and fauna of the forest at the back. So you can see that the concept that we use for Senada is actually in line with the environment, existing environment, and it's actually emulating the chef mushrooms. So the idea of the development in Alia, with the whole of Alia, is in line with the compelling tagline of Sime Darby, which is developing sustainable communities. So we look at both the environment, the people, as well as the prosperity of the area. And the whole process is from doing thorough research, knowing what our customers want, coming up with the right product, and then doing research in terms of pricing as well at both levels, primary and secondary levels in the area. We arrive at our pricing level, which we feel is a very attractive price for Senada. On a gross basis, about 1,300 per square feet, netting about 1,002, which is actually a very good price for that area. If you look at the pricing in the vicinity, this is actually value, really value for money for that segment target segment, which is more towards the middle income group.
Now, like you rightly put as well, there's a lot of forest reserves in that area. How do you convey to your designers and your architects that this is what you want to protect? How does Sime Darby Brunsfield work towards ensuring these green lungs are protected?
Yeah, well, that's the first thing we tell our team of consultants from the beginning.
Right.
Because usually there's a project brief that we give out to the consultants, and that's what they use as a guide to come up with the product and design a product. And that's the first thing we tell them, that, you know, as far as the development is concerned, we do not want to touch the Bukit Kiara Forest at the back.
Right.
And we are very mindful of the our neighbours, which is Taman Tun, next door. So we make sure, and then it's definitely something we do not compromise on, and it's a mandatory guideline given to the designers.
And this is this transcends way beyond just the Alia project and all the other Sime Darby
projects?
Yeah,
that's a principle that Sime Darby property as well, and that's also being imbibed into Sime Darby Brunsfield, that we adhere to in all our developments. We want to keep the pristine of nature intact.
The other thing is the fact that Alia is located not too far from where the next MRT line is, MRT station is going to be. What are your thoughts on transport-oriented development, which the Transport Ministry is trying to push going forward?
Well, for me, that's the future. That's going to be the future in terms of development as well in terms of transport. You see, land is getting scarcer and scarcer as we move forward in time. So as land becomes a smaller and smaller available land, the development that's going to go up is definitely vertical.
Right.
And the best way to connect all these vertical developments or nodes would be through the public transportation. And of course, the TODs and the TADs will be a key feature in future developments, especially in Klang Valley and Greater Klang Valley. And I would also believe, I would like to believe that the government would extend the lines, not only in Klang Valley, but, you know, throughout to the other cities in the country.
But this is the way Sime Darby Property and Sime Darby Brunsfield is heading?
Yeah, we are. We are definitely going towards integrated development, because Sime Darby Property is... has always been a traditional in terms of township developer, but we know that the future is in terms of integrated and vertical development and transport oriented development. So that's where we are. That's the direction we're going.
And not just for winning awards.
No. Those awards are coincidental. No, we do not actually do things just to win awards.
Yeah, and speaking about awards and accomplishments, what would you say are the biggest accomplishments Sime Darby Brunsfield has done so far?
Number one, of course, the partnership has lasted for 10 years. So that's basically an accomplishment in itself between us and Sime Darby, between us and Brunsfield Holdings. And then as a JV entity, as I mentioned earlier, I think in terms of integrated development, we have actually developed the largest integrated development in Klang Valley, which is the Oasis City in Arah Damansara, 85 acres of it. And there's still more to come. We have not really finished or completed that development yet. But in that development alone, we've won a few awards. You know, the Oasis City itself has won the Best Integrated Development Awards. But I can't remember who we won it from. But we did win the awards. I think this is also another award we are so very proud of. We believe moving forward, there will be more awards that we will bag, you know, in terms of integrated developments, because that is basically the niche or the forte of Sime Darby Brunsfield Holdings.
We are speaking with Dato' Wan Hashimi Al-Bakri, Director at Sime Darby Brunsfield and Sime Darby Property's Chief Operating Officer. In a few moments, we'll talk about what investors can look forward to in 2018. BFM 89.9. We're back on BFM 89.9's The Property Show, where we are talking to Dato' Wan Hashimi Al-Bakri, Director at Sime Darby Brunsfield and Sime Darby Property's Chief Operating Officer. Okay, Dato' Wan, I'm going to pick your brains about the overall property sector in Malaysia. How did you see it playing out in 2017?
Well, yes, it's as everybody knows, it has been a weak market,
right.
You know, and there are various reasons for it. But I would actually put it into what we call the VUCA state, you know, volatile, uncertain,
right.
Complex,
right.
And ambiguity. The property industry has been affected by the volatile macroeconomics,
right.
You know, and even in the what's happening in, around the world. You know, uncertainties are always something that we always anticipate, you know, especially now when on the supply side, the authorities are coming out with new requirements that sometimes hit us by surprise. For example, the recent announcement where in Klang Valley, the ban on the 1 million and above housing. So those are challenges that I think we as property developers need to face,
right.
And need to actually overcome. So it has been a weak market, and I think there's also the demand is still there. When we launch our products in the right locations, we observe the take-up is very good on launching days. But then it's sort of, you know, the conversion of those bookings into actual sales are meeting challenges, especially regards to loan approvals. You know, so we understand why the banks are actually being very cautious. And their risk appetite is not so big when it comes to housing loans. We understand why. But I think it's more through RADAR, which is the Real Estate Housing Developers
yes.
Association, we have actually forwarded our wish list to the government to manage and ride through this soft market or volatile situations, because property development is cyclical,
right?
You know, so there will be the ups and the downs, you know, and if you know there's this, we always go by a certain what we call the property clock. You know? There will be the time when there will be the rise and there will be the trough.
True.
So the best time to actually hit the market is when at the peak, but it doesn't peak forever. You know, it will come down. So when it comes down, we know that it will come down, but that's when we actually have to be prepared for the upswing. So that's why now in the current weak market, we believe that the upswing will be coming soon, hopefully, you know, because we've experienced this downswing or soft market for the last, I think, 5 years, three to five years. And we hope that there will be a sort of, you know, upswing in the market, but not very soon, not the early part of the year,
true.
But probably in the later part of 2018 and early part of 2019 forward.
So concerns by financial institutions that the market is overheating, what are your thoughts on it? Because there may be a likelihood interest rates might even go up just to cool the market. Does it need cooling?
I think it does need cooling in a sense,
right.
You know, but, you know, there should be segmentization, you know, in terms of where the cooling should take place. You know, you see, the segment that is really, there is a massive demand on underserved is actually the M40s or middle income group 40s. So this group is underserved. So there is definitely a pent-up demand in terms of the right product at the right price for this group. So I think the banks should facilitate the demand of this particular segment. There's also the first-time house buyers.
You know,
there's first-time house buyers, then the... You know, like developers having to take haircuts to facilitate statutory housing,
right.
You know, I think banks should also look at first-time house buyers where they should lower their standards a bit, you know, or their sort of, you know, be a bit more higher risk appetite and allow the so-called first-time house buyers to actually easily own home.
That's basically what RADAR has been pushing for all this while as well. Going back to the issue about the federal government putting a ban on properties costing over R1 million, how has that affected Sime Darby in general?
For Sime Darby, because we our land banks are, you know, meant for townships.
Right.
And practically, it's all landed units. So landed units, we believe, is still going to be a product that will still be in demand at the right location, at the right price. I think we will be able to actually launch and have a good take up. The challenge for these 1 million units is more on the
high rise.
But then there is also a statement by Datuk Bandar, Tan Sri Mohamed, that it is going to be on a case-to-case basis. It's not a full ban. It's not like a blanket ban, you know. So if you can
especially the Klang Valley.
Klang Valley. Because Klang Valley is, as I think everybody knows, the land price is not cheap.
It's not feasible here.
Not feasible if you're going to sell anything below, even I think below $500,000, you know. But, you know, if you can actually go to the authorities and justify why you want to launch something of that high price value, then I think the authorities will allow you to go ahead.
Another concern Bank Negara has is the issue of property overhang and oversupply. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, the statistics bears itself out. There are overhangs. I think the Bank Negara report says 130,000 unsold units worth about 12 billion. But I think we should actually dive deeper into those numbers. Where actually are those 130,000 coming from? Which particular type of product? Where are they located? Because it can be a situation where there's a mismatch, you know, in terms of supply and demand, where the developer does not sort of, you know, build something where there is a demand. So there's definitely an oversupply. You know, nobody will want it. You can't build something that is affordable, 250,000 below, in the middle of the jungle.
Exactly.
Nobody will go and buy, you know. So there's a mismatch in terms of supply and demand. There's also certain restrictions that we believe should be lifted, especially during this period, you know, to allow because some of these unsold units are unsold because of certain regulatory restrictions or so impositions by the authorities. If this can be lifted, this restriction can be lifted, we believe that the unsold products, we can actually move the unsold products faster.
Now, another thing to look forward to in 2018 is the government's push towards implementing more IBS in construction. Most of them claim that it would actually reduce the cost for property developers. Do you agree with that?
If there's volume, I would agree. If there's no volume given provided to the vendors, then it's a bit tough, you know, to actually bring the cost down. You know, IBS, I think for us developers, there's no two ways about it. I think that's it is part of the national agenda. And then most developers, especially RERA, members of RERA, all support IBS. But we have to look at what is the right formula in terms of the execution. We have to look at the whole supply chain. Mm-hmm. Because the supply chain is totally a different supply chain. We have to look at the way the the project is being managed, because project management is not the same. It's not the same. It's actually a totally different mindset in terms of, you know, it's not like the old traditional design.
Yeah.
Design, then you tender out, and then you build. It's more like a manufacturer's mindset. You know, it is actually producing drawings to a level where manufacturers can manufacture, then transport it to site, assemble on site. So I think we will support, you know, we will support. In fact, for Sime Property, we have got products that we are using IBS. You know, our latest, we're going to launch our affordable housing in Elmina, where we are achieving about 80% IBS score, and that is using a lot of IBS components.
So Sime Derby is ready for it?
Oh yeah, we are ready.
Finally, you were talking about first-time home buyers. From Sime Derby's position, what would some of the good advice that you would give first-time home buyers if they were to go out and look for property?
I would, number one, do your homework. Number two, consult the right people. You know, get the advice from the right people. Number three, go and visit the neighborhoods that you're going to actually buy your units from. And this visit should also happen at night, because that will give you a clear indication, you know. If you go there around at night time, you know, you can get a good feel whether it's a safe neighborhood or not, you know. These are practical, advice to first-time home buyers. And then you have to look at who are the developers, you know. Go for established developers. And then are they providing that neighborhood that you're going to buy first time, you know, make sure the amenities are there, you know, the right amenities are there in terms of, you know, near transportation hubs, or is it, are there schools, are there medical facilities? And for the first time home buyers, for the millennials, my other advice is to save money. Learn to save, you know, if you can. And work hard. Work hard to actually climb up the ladder, you know, so that you can actually then grow and really afford better homes as the family grows.
That was Keith Gum speaking to Dato' Wan Hashimi Al-Bakri, Director, Sime Darby Brunsfield and Sime Darby Properties Chief Operating Officer. You can catch the full conversation on podcast by downloading the BFM app on Google Play and the Apple App Store. We're coming up to the 10 o'clock news bulletin followed by Enterprise. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.